group expanded. This is the Bhakti Bhikshu group that's expanded. How many of you are Bhakti Bhikshu group members, regulars? Okay. So, we're just going to continue with the same subject matter that you're discussing in your Bhakti Bhikshu group. What's that subject matter that you're discussing? No, you don't answer that. What's the subject matter that you're discussing?
Transcendental knowledge.
That's a nice subject. Would somebody like to volunteer something that you remember about Krishna's teaching of transcendental knowledge? Something.
He said this knowledge was old, but yeah, as it was forgotten, he started teaching to Arjuna so that it can be followed again.
Okay.
And he says, he's telling to Arjuna because he's his disciple and friend.
And he's his friend and what else?
Disciple, devotee.
Bhaktosi me sakha cheti. Is his bhakta and his sakha. His devotee and his friend. Okay. It's old, but it got lost. How did it get lost? I don't know. It got lost. How did it get lost? How did it get lost?
From generations to generations it passed on and...
The succession, the chain was broken.
Yeah, very good. Right, generation to generation through disciplic succession. Not just my grandmother said and her grandmother said. It's a little different. It's similar, but it's a little different. Great acharyas become great acharyas because they receive through that same disciplic succession. And then they transmit, and then someone receives from them. And without any modification, transparently, through disciplic succession, passes on. But the disciplic succession was broken. So Krishna says to Arjuna that he's going to reestablish this teaching by presenting it to him. And his qualification is he's Krishna's bhakta, and he's Krishna's dear friend. What else? Maybe that's enough. Anything else? Something else.
Krishna says that one who understands my birth and my activities factually, he will never return to this material realm.
Must be very special knowledge then. Yeah, divine. No, you're the Bhakti Bhikshu member. You get priority.
In the same context, I have questions Krishna that you said that you spoke many times. It is old. How come it is old when I only know you hardly from my lifetime. You said that you spoke long time back. How is it possible? The questions, and then Krishna starts answering.
And what was the answer?
All the many past births which you underwent, I know it, but you don't remember.
And why not?
Because you changed the body.
And
I am transcendental.
Okay. Very good.
First it was spoken to Vivas Swan.
Yeah.
And later on it transmits to Moni.
So, if you didn't catch all that... At the time that the Kurukshetra battle was fought, Krishna had been existing on the planet for a little over 100 years, although he looked like a 16-year-old boy. He never became old, no gray hair, none of that program, just this very young, youthful, Navayovana, eternally youthful. But although Krishna is that many years existent on the planet, he's saying, previously I spoke this knowledge to the sun god Bhivaswan, which was millions of years previous. And then Bhivaswan spoke it to his son, Manu. And so Arjuna is saying, wait a minute. How is this possible? You're not that old. You're by age too young to have spoken to the sun god Bhivaswan. Can you explain? And the explanation is, you were there too, Arjuna. But you don't remember. But I can remember. Because Arjuna's forgetfulness is due to his identification with the body and then the change of body. But Krishna doesn't have a material body that changes. It's an unchanging transcendental form. Krishna is all-knowing, all-cognizant. Okay. Any other nice pearls from, or diamonds, or other jewels from this?
He rewards them as they approach, the way they approach.
Say it again. He rewards them as they approach him.
The way they should have, like, if they want to have a friend.
Okay. Krishna reciprocates as we approach him, the kind of feeling, yayatamam prapadyante, as one surrenders unto the Supreme Lord, as one, the mood with which one approaches him, he reciprocates. Now what about Kamsa? Does Krishna reciprocate with Kamsa?
Yeah, perfect enemy.
Yeah. You want me to be your enemy? Okay, I'll be your enemy. But does Krishna feel inimical to Kamsa? No. Name dvesho sti na priyaha. He's neutral. He's just reciprocating. Nice, huh? Okay. Well, for those of you who are Bhakti Vriksha members, maybe you can remember, because I can remember, I was asked to make an overview of the fourth chapter. And in making the overview of the fourth chapter, I discussed the uncertainty of Arjuna that comes at the beginning of the third chapter, the same uncertainty of Arjuna that comes at the beginning of the fifth chapter, and the fourth chapter is actually a resolution of that uncertainty. It's just that Arjuna doesn't get it, so he asks it again. So, two questions. What's the uncertainty, and what's the resolution of the uncertainty? Let's start with the first question. What's the uncertainty that Krishna is presented, or that Arjuna presents to Krishna at the beginning of the third chapter and at the beginning of the fifth chapter? The doubt. What's that doubt or uncertainty that Arjuna has? Yes?
Arjuna is confused that Krishna is asking him to engage in this ghastly warfare, but he's also asking him to engage in Buddhi Yoga. So that is his uncertainty.
Okay. Would you like to say it in a different way? Or say?
I thought Arjuna had a doubt how Krishna is always young.
No, that's not. The doubt is, so in the beginning of chapter 3, I'll help you pay special attention, because the verses today are going to answer the question. Oh boy. You get to know the question and the answer before you even get the quiz. Okay. So you all should get A's. Okay. Krishna has said, Arjuna got it right. Krishna said, knowledge is better than fruitive work, because fruitive work is binding and knowledge is liberating. Knowledge is better than fruitive work, which is true. jnana leads to vairagya. Proper, proper understanding of transcendental knowledge leads to detachment. But Krishna said that. But Krishna also said, stand and fight. So to Arjuna, that looks like fruitive work, which is binding upon the performer. And you said, knowledge is better than fruitive work. It seems like you're making a contradictory statement, my dear teacher and spiritual master Krishna. Can you please explain? So chapter 4 is that explanation. At the end of chapter 4, this is a review of what we did last time I was with you, Krishna is extolling once again transcendental knowledge. It's so wonderful that it's like fire that's blazing and it can consume unlimited amounts of fuel. The unlimited amounts of reactions to past misdeeds can be consumed by transcendental knowledge, like a big blazing fire can consume wood. And so Arjuna's going, yeah, knowledge. And it's like a boat that you can use to cross the ocean of material existence. Boat of transcendental knowledge. And Arjuna's going, yes, transcendental knowledge. To the forest. Cultivate transcendental knowledge with a mood of detachment. And he glorifies transcendental knowledge and transcendental knowledge, and Arjuna's halfway, to the forest. Then Krishna says, armed with knowledge, stand and fight. Krishna's answered his question in chapter 4. But Arjuna doesn't get it. So he asked the same question again. Here's the same question, stated a little differently, but it's the same question. O Krishna, first of all, you asked me to renounce work. Well, he asked him to renounce fruitive work, not renounce work. That's one of the differences. That comes directly to the verses we're going to read this evening. First of all, you asked me to renounce work. So you can hear a buzzer in the background. Wah, 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 wah. No, he didn't ask him to renounce work. He asked him to renounce the fruits of work, but work as he's obligated. Right? Mm-hmm. Chapter 3. Karmani evalikaraste ma palesha kadachana. You're entitled to perform your prescribed duty, but you're not entitled to the pala. Ma palesha kadachana. And then, again, you recommend work with devotion. Now will you kindly tell me definitely which of the two is more beneficial? Well, Krishna tells him again. But, okay, so now we have everyone's reset button is set, and so we're going to take a look at texts 17 and 18 from chapter 4 of Bhagavad Gita. And I'll keep it simple. I'll try. Because it can get complicated. Yeah. There are, in chapter 4, text 17, there are three terms that are presented. Karma, akarma, and vikarma. Already it's complicated, right? It's not really complicated. Karma means fruitive work. Particularly, karma means prescribed according to the Vedas. Prescribed religious work, karmakanda, rituals, prescribe certain kinds of duties. That kind of karma. And that which is forbidden by the scripture. Thou shalt not this and that. That's vikarma. Now what's this third thing? Ah, karma. The prefix a means not. So, bear with me, listen carefully. It's a detail that's important. Karma has two different meanings, action, and what's the other one?
Reaction.
So sometimes it's used to describe action. Sometimes it's used to describe reaction. So Krishna is saying in text 17, this is very intricate. Even the intelligent are bewildered in determining what is action and what is inaction. Of course, you're devotees, so you're beyond intelligence, so you won't have a problem with this. Yeah. But Krishna is saying even intelligent persons they're bewildered in determining what is action and what is inaction. Now, I shall explain to you what is action, knowing which you shall be liberated from all misfortune. So there's action, inaction, and forbidden action. I'll read Prabhupada. There's three paragraphs in the purport. I'll read one of the three. To act in Krishna consciousness, one has to follow the leadership of authorized persons who are in the line of disciplic succession, as explained in the beginning of this class, as well as explained in the beginning of this chapter. The system of Krishna consciousness was first narrated to the sun god, to Manu Manu, to Ikshvaku, and the system is current on this earth from that very remote time. Therefore, one is to follow in the footsteps of the previous authorities in the line of disciplic succession. Otherwise, even the most intelligent man will be bewildered regarding the standard of actions of Krishna consciousness. For this reason, the Lord decided to instruct Arjuna in Krishna consciousness directly. Because of the direct instruction of the Lord to Arjuna, anyone who follows in the footsteps of Arjuna is certainly not bewildered. Well, that's very logical. And it's also very true. And it's not difficult. Except, in theory it's not difficult. It's the application that's difficult. And the application is difficult for the same reason it was difficult for Arjuna to understand, and that was... That wasn't the reason. Because... Maybe that was the reason. Because he was attached to another conception. And what was his other conception? His conception was karma sannyas, not karma palatyag, but karma sannyas. What's the difference? Because it comes at the beginning of chapter 5. Karma sannyas, you've advised me to give up work. Karma sannyas, give up work. Krishna didn't say give up work. But he's thinking, you said give up work. But he didn't say give up work. He said work as you're obligated, without attachment to the result. So karma pala tyag. Work without attachment to the results. That's karma yoga. Work without attachments to the results. Rather, work as you are obligated. What's the motivation for the person who's performing karma yoga? They want to... Two things. They want to be not entangled by the fruits of their work. Because they recognize fruits of work, even good work, is entangling. So they want to not be involved in the fruits of their work. And so they offer the fruits of their work in sacrifice unto the Supreme. They don't want the entanglement and they want some connection with the Supreme. These two things. So, Krishna says, text 17, The intricacies of action are very hard to understand. I went back to something you did last week. But anyway, okay. The intricacies of action are very hard to understand. He's already said that in the previous verse. Therefore, one should know properly what is action, what forbidden action is, and what inaction is. I got ahead of myself. Okay, so there's these three terms, karma, vikarma, and akarma. So the puzzling one is akarma, action that has no reaction. Answer, that's devotional service. That's what Arjuna's not getting, and that's what the whole world is not getting. And he's not getting it by Krishna's influence on purpose so that we can hear it a few times, because we don't get it. You've heard this before, most of you. Prabhupada said, sometimes the mother wants to instruct the daughter-in-law, but she doesn't want to make the daughter-in-law uncomfortable. So she instructs her daughter in the presence of the daughter-in-law, so the daughter-in-law will know what my mother-in-law is expecting of me, because she's instructing her daughter. Right, ladies? Not now. Not now, okay.
Probably third time.
But you understood, yes? Yes, okay.
It's the other way around now.
Okay. Whoever are the daughters and daughters-in-law, now you know her program. But it's nice. It's polite. It's non-confrontational, but it's very effective. So Krishna is doing the same thing. Krishna isn't instructing us. He's instructing Arjuna, so that we can get it and understand, oh, that's what Krishna is wanting from me. It's actually for us. So he's placing Arjuna in this circumstance where he appears to be bewildered like us, so that he needs instructions like we need, and Krishna's instructing him. Okay, here it goes the double talk. One who sees inaction, and action, inaction, is intelligent among men. If you can understand it, you're definitely intelligent. One who sees inaction in action, and action in inaction. Wow, it's hard to say it. Is intelligent among men, and he is in the transcendental position, although engaged in all sorts of activities. This is what Arjuna is not getting. So now we'll go through it slowly. Vikarma, that's the easiest one. Forbidden, it's sinful, you get a sinful reaction. When there's prescribed duties, karma, kanda, practices, sacrifices, rituals, that are found within the Vedas, and you do them, there's reaction to those actions. If you refrain, because this was what Arjuna wanted to do, you have a prescribed duty and you don't do it, what happens? You get a reaction. Don't pay your taxes. No, don't. If you don't pay your taxes, you get a reaction. If you're, whatever it is, there's some duty that you have to do. It's very clear, it's a duty you have to do. And you neglect that duty. There's reaction. For that inaction, there's a reaction. Karma sannyas for Arjuna would bring about a sinful reaction. Why? Because he has a duty. He has a certain nature. He's a kshatriya. It looks very selfless. He's thinking, oh, I don't want to be responsible for this battle, because if I engage in the battle, you know his reasons. One of them is, there's five reasons. One of them is, if I engage in this battle, so many men will be killed, when those men are killed, their wives or their daughters will be without protection. Then the next step is, if they're without protection, there will always be mischievous men who will try to exploit them, and then those women become exploited and unwanted children are produced, and I'm responsible for that? No, thank you. If I take up this battle, if I engage in my prescribed duty, there'll be a reaction. Krishna checkmates him. He says, it's just the other way around, Arjuna. If you don't engage in your prescribed duty, there'll be a reaction. And if you engage in your prescribed duty, you're free from reaction. If you engage in your prescribed duty for the purpose of satisfying the personality Godhead, there's no reaction. Because even if you do prescribed duties, there's a good reaction. You have to take birth again to get that good reaction. So, in action is devotional service. Action in Krishna consciousness, which is the next chapter, chapter 5. Short purport. A person acting in Krishna consciousness is naturally free from the bonds of karma. The reaction part. His activities are performed for Krishna. Therefore, he does not enjoy or suffer any of the effects, reactions, of work. Consequently, he is intelligent in human society, even though he is engaged in all sorts of activities for Krishna. Akarma means without reaction. But Arjuna is taking it the other way. Non-performance of duty. Karma sannyas. Because that's what he wants. He wants to leave that battlefield and not take part in this avaram ghora, ghore, this ghastly warfare. He's already colored and painted it black and saying, I don't want to go there. And Krishna's painting it white, saying, go there. Engage in your prescribed duty for me, for my sake, because I'm asking you to do it. The impersonalist ceases fruitive activities out of fear so that the resultant action may not be a stumbling block on the path of self-realization. But the personalist knows rightly his position as the eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he engages himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness. Because everything is done for Krishna, he enjoys only transcendental happiness in the discharge of this service. Those who are engaged in this process are known to be without desire for personal sense gratification. So this is, we hear in Prabhupada's writings again and again and again and again this term sense gratification. What does that mean? I was just reading, because somebody was asking about someone that comes to, is just beginning to come to the Chicago temple, that comes from a Christian background. A middle-aged woman, lives in Indiana, from a Greek Orthodox background. So she's just encountering Krishna's Rasa-lila and going, oh, how does this fit? Because, you know, in Greek Orthodox religion, a man associating with other women and other men's wives, that's forbidden. But here we got the person we're worshiping doing that, so how do I understand this? You know, it was a nice inquiry. So Prabhupada, in addressing this in Krishna book, because the Krishna book was distributed to just the mass of population of the West and introducing chapter 29, Krishna book, Rasa Leela. So how did Prabhupada, this world acharya, present Rasa Leela to the unaware Western audience? He explains that in all circumstances, because we have senses, there is sense gratification. Satisfaction of one's own senses, that's lust. Satisfaction of the senses of Krishna, that's love. So it's fine if that love is Mother Yashoda carrying Krishna on her lap, Nanda Maharaj having Krishna carry his shoes on his head, and, you know, some nice, wonderful little leelas. Even Krishna stealing butter, that's, you know, his little boy. But when he gets a little older, and Krishna's playing upon his flute, and the gopis come, and that doesn't look the same. It's not so innocent. It doesn't look so innocent. But it's just an elevated standard of the same principle, where if that activity is done out of satisfaction of one's own senses, then that's lust, and that's condemned. And if it's for the satisfaction of the Supreme, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchate. So if we imitate Krishna's Rasa Leela, it's most abominable. But when Krishna performs Rasa Leela, it's most wonderful. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. This is from Narada Pancharatra. It's a definition of what is bhakti. So like we, you know, patram pushpam palam toyam yo me bhaktya prayachati. We take a leaf, a flower, a fruit or water, and with our senses and with our hearts we offer to Krishna. And that's bhakti. And the gopis are doing the same thing. They're offering atmanivedana. They're offering their mind, their body and their words, everything unto Krishna for his service. Same principle. Because it's for Krishna, it's not for the satisfaction of one's own senses, then it's transcendental. So, it's very similar. It's very different also, but Arjuna is thinking this is killing is sinful. And it's true, killing is sinful. For a kshatriya to use the strength that the Lord has endowed them with to protect innocent people, that's not sinful, although the same act performed otherwise is sinful. Prabhupada gives the example, a man who's enlisted in the army, and there's a battle to protect the citizens. And so, you know, lots of battles today aren't protect citizens, it's over some other issue. But to protect the citizens, he's fighting. And he on the battlefield, great heroism, risking his life. Many persons on the other side are killed by that great hero. He's given a gold medal. And if that same person comes back home and does the same thing, he's in jail. Or he's, you know, sentenced to death. But, Your Honor, I was given a gold medal for doing the same thing. One is an authorized and another is a wanton act. Punishable. So, akarma, inaction, when there's devotional service, there's no reaction to devotional service. Including that which to Arjuna looks like there's going to be a sinful reaction by doing it. There's no sinful reaction to doing it, and there's sinful reaction from not doing it. That's the message. The context is a battle, and the separate out the context and apply it into our lives, we have duties. And sometimes those duties are easy, and sometimes those duties are very difficult. Sometimes they're filled with challenges. I think, you know, we can remember very well the ones filled with challenges more than the ones we can remember that were easy. Whether easy or filled with challenges, we have duties that we're to perform. And a message of Bhagavad Gita is that by doing so, for the satisfaction of Krishna, there's no reaction. We're relieved of all of that complication in material existence, which goes back to chapter 3, where Krishna is describing the living entity is in this dilemma. That is, we can't refrain from action because we're active. Spirit souls are active. You can't even maintain your body without action. You can try, I'm not going to do anything. Mm-hmm. Your body will perish. The soul will go on, so you'll be active in another body. Because souls are active. We have to be active, doing something. And the problem is, as soon as we're active, then there's a reaction for that activity. It's a dilemma. What to do? So Krishna is teaching this principle of sacrifice, yajna. Take the results and offer them to Vishnu. And then higher is the soul is not just offering results to Vishnu, his whole life is devoted. Whatever he does is for the satisfaction of the Supreme, because our existence is meant for the satisfaction of the Supreme. That's devotional service. For that devotional service, there's no reaction. That's the akarma situation. For us as well. In this life, we can free ourselves from all past reactions and prepare ourselves to enter into the spiritual realm. In this lifetime. One lifetime. If we get it. And if we don't, we can be like Arjuna and keep saying, well, wait a minute. Okay. Any comments or discussion or... Yes. Balaram Prasad. Yes.
Regarding the prescribed duty, somehow we have to maintain and also prescribed duty we have to satisfy the family and also is that in satisfaction that pleasing Krishna. Say, as a consultant, I'm working in different industries, especially the meat industries.
And especially which?
Meat industries. Promoting their business, maybe a carnivorous foods or whatever, and also the anheuser Busch breweries. Yeah. So I am working for a consulting company, and I'm depending on their consulting company, and the consulting company says, you have to go and work. So if there's no other goal, then I have to work. So how should I really think about it, you know? If I have another opportunity, yes, I can take other opportunity. Yeah, otherwise, intoxication, and we know this is very, you know, promoting, working for them, promoting their business is very bad.
Yes, it is.
But how should I, you know, go about? But it's a prescribed duty. If there is nothing, then
next
I can
question. It's a very difficult circumstance, being in a contaminating atmosphere, to find an occupation, a trade, that doesn't have contamination. Search high, search. So, there's for householders that I've had this conversation with, they say, you know, there are occupations where they're more neutral. Not exactly load of goodness, but more neutral. And there's some other occupations that are more compromised, and some other occupations that are clearly compromised. Just yesterday, someone at MIT was sharing with me, I have a question. It came after the class, so I didn't ask it during the class like you're doing. They said, I really like my research. But I deal with animals. So I said, you deal with animals, or is it, you know, the unspoken thing that you just not don't want to say that you have to do? She said, it's that. But I really like my research, and, you know, what should I do? You know, it's like, please bless me to kill the animals. Please bless me, Swamiji. Give your blessings for all the dead animals I kill every day. What I suggested was, as you made a series of choices to get to the position that you're in now, over the next 3 to 5 years, make a series of choices that get you out of the position that you're in now. You can't just, like, quit and be responsible, besides how passionate you are for your research. You can be, you know, very passionate for the reactions for all the research that you're doing, all the killing of the innocent animals. How passionate are you for that? But, you know, she was not thinking about that, and she said, until I began associating with the devotees here, so I didn't get to hammer and hit her. But, you know, work towards something that's free from that reaction. Depending upon, in your situation, depending upon the person who is your supervisor or the persons who you're answerable to, if they understand, here's an individual that they're a very good worker, an excellent worker, and they have these sensibilities. Now, if that relationship and starting with respect for, you know, he's a really good worker because you're doing it for Krishna, so you're a really good worker, not just, you know, materially, but devotionally. Hopefully, those persons will send those things your way that they know are not in conflict with your sensibilities. And what do you do in those cases where they are in conflict with your sensibilities? One thing that you can do is you pray to Krishna, my dear Lord Krishna, I'm in this contaminating situation. It's, you know, a little bit, not the same, but it's a little bit like a Kura. Excuse me. Vidura. When Vidura left the palace, he left the palace because he could have just gone to Krishna, but he was considering, I've been in this contaminating association. I'm not fit to go to Krishna just now. I need to purify myself from being in this contaminating atmosphere. So he went on pilgrimage before searching Krishna's association. Prabhupada explains that specifically in the purport. So my dear Lord Krishna, this is my circumstance. You know my circumstance. If you so desire, help me move into another situation where I can maintain my family, use the skills that I have developed, and do my prescribed duty. But you know my situation. So you're trying, in your circumstance, to act for Krishna. Constrained by, you know, the contaminating atmosphere that we're in. If Krishna gives you the intelligence or the opportunity, somehow, if you can get out of that kind of consultancy where you have to do those things from time to time, you take that option. If that's possible, you can't just be impulsive and, you know, say I quit, and then leave your family hanging. Sorry, family, I see you later. You can't do that. And help other persons who are in the process of planning their careers to, you know, have their antennas up before they start making choices that are, you know, you can't go back and redo those choices. as a, you know, service unto Krishna. I'm in this situation. But others don't have to get in the same situation if they're prepared, you know, thoughtful. And the answer I'm giving you is something like a conscientious devotee that is contemplating, should I not take milk? Because of the reasons that what happens to the cow when the cow is no longer producing milk. I'm, by buying this milk, I'm aiding and abetting the dairy industry. That's just a nice way of sounding, you know, nice sounding name for cow slaughter and bull slaughter. And the name of giving it a nice name and a bow and a ribbon and some perfume. Dairy industry. Drink milk. So should I not drink milk? Because by so doing, you've heard that question? You're okay. There's a vegan, you know that term. They don't take dairy, and that's the reason. Because the cruelty to the animal that produces the milk, I'm not going to participate in that industry. No milk products. If that's the reason. So some devotees that move in those circles start, I've had this question asked, should I, you know, what do you think, Maharaj, what should I do? So an answer that I've given is similar to the answer that I just gave you, which is Prabhupada knew, Prabhupada instructed us to offer milk to Krishna. Krishna shouldn't be bereft of milk. And you make the offering to Krishna, you take the prasad from Krishna, knowing, you know, what happens to the cow. So what did Prabhupada instruct us? Have our own farms or our own cow protection programs. Ideally, take the milk from the protected cow. At least support cow protection. If you're not directly taking the cow from the milk from the protected cow. You follow the similarity in the two parallels. For the cow, for you to take her milk and offer to Krishna, she's doing some devotional service because you know, although later in her life there's going to be a problem. But there are dairies that are cruelty-free. That, you know, they promote it and, you know, it costs them something, but they get something because, you know, they get support because they're cruelty-free. And they charge more for their cruelty-free milk, and that way they can maintain the cows for their natural life. But at least promote or support directly cow protection. As a principle, as a grahasta. You don't have a cow in your backyard, but you can support cow protection. Next question. Yes.
You mentioned how at the beginning of the third and the fifth chapter, Arjuna is asking a similar question. And he explained, at least to us, that because of our attachment or filters, we don't actually get the message. We don't hear what we should be hearing. In attached to some conception, and we hear the same thing. So, how can we move from that, you know, attached position to accepting a new conception?
Become Krishna conscious. By following the process of Krishna consciousness, you become Krishna conscious. By continuing to hear and chant and associate and serve, you gradually become purified. By developing strong relationships with those who are guiding you in Krishna consciousness, you can become more Krishna conscious. By chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without offense, or striving to, then you can become sufficiently purified that that message, the filters are removed, and one can receive the message. Yes.
17th verse purport, the first line. I'm not able to.
Can you hear him in the back?
Verse 17, Prabhupada's purport, the first sentence, I'm not able to understand. Can you please explain?
The first sentence you can't understand.
On the purport.
In the purport? Really? Best to get everybody's attention. Okay, let's hear this sentence that you don't understand. If one is serious about liberation, that one?
No, the first one.
17?
Yes,
that's all.
Okay. If one is serious about liberation from material bondage, one has to understand the distinctions between action, inaction, and unauthorized actions.
Why should we understand the distinction between all
so that you know what to do and what not to do?
Is it inaction, knowing inaction itself is enough?
Well, if you know what light is, do you know what dark is? Okay. And there's a distinction between them, aren't there?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Anything else? I'm waiting for your question. I know you have a kind of question. You got two of them, right?
Every action has an equal and opposite reaction.
Yes.
So if that action, if that karma is done to please the senses of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we will have no reaction.
That's right.
So it could be anything.
Well, as long as it's pleasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then it could be anything.
So how do we know if it pleases the Personality of Godhead?
There's prescribed activities, and those prescribed activities are pleasing to the Personality of Godhead. He prescribed them.
He has given us families, so to protect the family, we have to work and earn money.
But you should earn money, work and earn money in a way that doesn't violate religious principle. Okay. Anything else? Yeah.
A conversation with my friend.
In a conversation with his friend.
I too have a question, actually.
You have a question.
I too.
You also have a question.
Same thing, what the context has come.
Okay. Okay.
There are levels in devotional service, right?
There's levels in devotional service.
So that can be converted, in other words, surrender to Krishna. Right?
Surrender to Krishna.
Yeah. So the levels are.
The degrees of surrender to Krishna.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Lord Krishna will be helping to that extent only to those different categories of devotees, or?
Well, Krishna helps Kamsa too.
But Kamsa doesn't like it.
Yes and no.
Kamsa likes Krishna killing him.
Kamsa, his suffering was mitigated, his suffering was taken away. His suffering condition was taken away. He liked that. He didn't like the way that it was taken away, but he liked the suffering condition was taken away. So, I'm just modifying or editing your statement that those who surrender into Krishna, to the degree that they surrender into Krishna, Krishna reciprocates. That's true. But there was another statement that you made that it was just editing. I can't even remember exactly what it was.
Can I add?
Yeah.
So, actually the friend wasn't a problem. I told that, don't worry, Lord will help you. Similar to the way how he helped the Lord, Prahlad.
Okay. Mm.
So he said, because he's Prahlad, he helped us. I'm not Prahlad, so you're not going to help me. That way, so So he's not going to help who is not surrendered to him.
Well, Prahlad is a really special bhakta. If we had to endure what Prahlad had to endure, we'd be out the door. But our difficulties aren't commensurate with the difficulties of Prahlad either. You could say, is your father Hiranyakashipu? And so Prahlad is given some tribulation commensurate with his surrender to the Lord. He's given protection commensurate to his surrender to the Lord too. So certainly one of the variables is faith. But if one is, what does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita about those that are faithless? Again and again, the cycle of birth and death. They're cast into darkness, and again and again the cycle of birth and death. So, what do you think? You're not Prahlad, but you want that? So, you know, what is it that you want?
Every time we say, pray to Lord, He will help. So, yes.
And rather than speaking about your friend, let's speak about yourself. When you pray, do you have faith that by praying to the Lord, first of all, He'll hear you? It means that there is God. On the other end of the telephone line is God. He's receiving the prayer that you're offering. Not the telephone line, but the prayer line. He's on the other side. He's receiving. And He's omnipotent. So, but He's not obliged, you know, jump 6 feet. So it's not, He's not obliged, but He's loving. And because He's loving, He reciprocates with those who extend themselves to Him. Only natural. So, how much attached we are to the worldly circumstance that we're trying to make better, and how much we're attached to Him, which is indifferent to the worldly circumstance. That's the measure. And according to the degree of submission and faith, it's only natural. There's a reciprocation commensurate. Otherwise you want to be on your own, okay. You want to be dependent upon me? Okay. With an equal tone of voice. It's not like an attitude. Oh, you want to be independent from me? Then see you later. But it's reciprocation as in kind. That's its loving nature. Yes.
There are two ways of pleasing. For example, a child would like to please its mother by trying to behave, though it doesn't want to. For example, you know, mother says, do not touch the candle. It's going to burn you. So it definitely wants to touch it, but because it's scared that mother might get angry, mother might not like it, mother has told me not to touch it, so I'm not touching it. So that is how we start to, you know, even though, for example, if I'm a child,
that's fear.
I want to do it, but I'm not doing it because
behavior
I'm
out of fear.
Of my mother. I'm scared.
Behavior out of fear and behavior out of love are definitely different.
Right, but isn't this like a starting? So is it still okay to be like that? Or
if you ask me personally, you know, I don't like it at all. It's not enduring. It's not in. It's crummy. Far better. You know, work with your child or the children that you're working with to teach them a whole other way of out of love. That's Prabhupada's teaching. I'll repeat it. Some here have heard it many times. There was a little book published about Gurukul that it's such a nice principle. It's not just for children. It's for embodied spirit souls. It's for all of us. So the teachers were saying, asking Prabhupada about discipline. That was the topic. And Prabhupada, is it okay to discipline? No. But Prabhupada, sometimes the children are really bad. No discipline. But Prabhupada, you know, we're supposed to teach and the classroom gets so rowdy. We can't teach. We have to discipline. No discipline. Show them love. He didn't just say no. He said, show them love. But yeah, but Prabhupada, yeah, but Prabhupada. So finally, they said, okay, we'll just show them love. And there was more discussion about what that means, show them love. And then Prabhupada said, and then you can discipline. And then when you discipline them, no, it's coming out of love. It's not coming out of, you better not do that, or you're going to get, you know, something you don't want. And then he said, you can show the stick, but never use it. So that's Prabhupada.
For example, my mother does a lot of prescribed duties, but she's scared that she might be punished by God if she does not do that.
Motivation, excuse me for having strong feelings about this, but I have strong feelings about this. Motivation out of fear is for the mode of ignorance. And if you want somebody to stay in the mode of ignorance, try to motivate them out of fear. But better to elevate them out of ignorance. And the inspiration is loving dealing, loving exchange. It's far more attractive and far more enduring. And all around, behaviors will become of the quality of goodness by promoting the quality of goodness. Otherwise, you know, you're going to have a lifelong task of, you know, shaking a stick at somebody in all aspects of their life, because that's all that you've been able to, you know, produce is a stick. If you don't do this, I'm going to smack you. Or I won't like you. Or I'll shun you, or you know, you'll feel bad. So you don't do that. I mean, discipline is necessary, but when it's coming out of love, that's how discipline should be exercised. And then when the discipline comes, it's part of the loving dealing. It's fine. One accepts it. You know, one looks to the reason behind it, not just I better not do this because otherwise I'm gonna get it.
Maharaj, you had mentioned in one of the lectures that we cannot control the children because we are not the controller. Krishna is the controller.
Uh-huh.
We are not the controller. So I'm just thinking, you know, in that aspect, I was thinking, how can I control children? Can I really control the children? Because Krishna is the, you know, Krishna is the controller. But
yeah.
How should I behave?
Well, you're the loving parent. You have a responsibility unto this spirit soul, that spirit soul. And you're big and they're small. They're dependent upon you. You're given dominion over them. So treat them with great dignity and respect. And that's the kind of behavior you're going to get out of reciprocation. I'm a strong believer in that principle. And it's not just for children, it's for all people. Anything else? Yes?
Guru Maharaj, as you were explaining about doing things will endure with because it's out of love, most of the times I find myself in a situation, for example, if I'm struggling to carry out some activity or some service, I'm trying to think, Krishna, help me so that I can carry out the service. And then when I'm angry, it's not at that moment, maybe a few hours later, I'm thinking, Krishna, help me not to get in that mood. So.
Best that you're thinking like that when you're in that mood. Krishna, please help me.
But then, if I'm trying to, this is probably a convoluted way of my thinking, but is that a reflection of how I see my relationship with Krishna, that I'm not seeing it as a beloved's act?
Yes.
Instead I'm...
Yes. 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 The forgetfulness when anger comes is part of the definite. It's the relationship is not as strong as it could be, should be, would be. And that it comes later is that's a description of that relationship is there. It just got overwhelmed by that rajogun and tamogun, because anger is tamogun. That's preceded by rajogun, and that's not my that's not me, nor is it my relationship with Krishna. So let me strengthen my relationship with Krishna. So when those influences of the modes arise, they don't overwhelm me. I can see them for what they are and be detached from them. Krishna, please protect me. Like in the moment. One of the best ways is to be present with Krishna when you're chanting Krishna's holy name. Not processing the day that's going to come and, you know, thinking over the day that happened. But be present. And be in the moment with Krishna. So that when circumstances arise, you're with Krishna. And Krishna will help you. Your prayer to Krishna will be there, and Krishna will help you. Okay, I'm looking at my watch and it's 9 o'clock. Last question.
While chanting, if I'm not able to present, is it an offense?
It's if you're trying to be, then it's not. It's the clearing. Right? You have three stages, not just two. You know what the three stages are, right? Aparad, Shuddha, and Avas in the middle. So if you're striving, Avas, trying to overcome inattentiveness. So be there. Strive. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada, team. Jai.
Srila Prabhupada, team.